Well, this week on Reliving the Extreme, everyone, we are discussing the episode of ECW TV from May 21st, 1996. Nate Maxson, your host here with you, along with my brother Aaron.
Hi, everybody.
And Mr. Chad Austin.
Who I want to be known as the lover boy, Chad Austin. For now. Wait till I get my Japanese kimono sent here.
So what's your entrance music going to be then, if you're the lover boy? What's your choice? What's your choice of entrance music?
I don't know. I mean, it would have to be something from, it's my dedication to all the ladies out there. It's, I can't fight this feeling anymore. I know how they feel. As I walk to the ring and Ario Speedwagon or whoever it is blaring and
handing out single roses like the handsome stranger in Global.
Hell yeah. No, I'm handing out vape cartridges. As I'm, because you believe me, I'm taking everything I can get out of that fucking place.
That's an easy choice. It's a simple choice. It's low hanging fruit. But you just come out to Billy Ocean Loverboy.
Oh, because we can do that. We can do the like the Cody Rhodes spot where he says like, "I want to be your boy." We can do. Yeah. I can do the big Cody Rhodes thing. Hmm. Maybe I can get her to yell out "boy." When I'm doing it,
the 23 people in attendance can be like, lover,
well,
lover boy.
Hopefully, if all goes the way I planned it, it's only going to be two people in attendance. I'm not putting this on the interview on the fucking internet. Although it might make for good content for the network there, Nate.
And the crowd goes mild. Yes.
the crowd goes away.
Well, I'll ask you guys before, because this is obviously it's ECW related. Before we get into the actual TV review, I really, 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 really liked Paul Heyman's Hall of Fame induction.
Yeah, I watched it twice because I watched it. I watched it live, or I think it was after we did our show. Didn't we do a show a day or something, or something happened, and I had to watch it on delay. Mm-hmm. And I actually was watching it, but I was kind of in the middle of settling in from being whatever I was doing. So it was on. So it kind of caught my attention kind of halfway through it. And then I was like, wait a second here. Wait a minute. What I heard was so good. And I know he was up there for a few minutes that I was like, I got to rewind this and hear this again. And yeah, it was good, man.
It was cool to see Bubba and RVD and even Dreamer was there.
Can't get enough of this guy, dude. I even made a comment about tonight on our show that I even had to write fucking Dreamer's name down.
Now, Paul's speech was excellent, and like I said, it's now become my second favorite Hall of Fame, like WWE Hall of Fame induction speech, and you could tell the people that he really appreciated. It's like you said, the Bubba was like he hugged Bubba and he hugged Tommy and everything. But watching it, like I noticed Dawn Marie was there. Like he's a big fan of Dawn. Spike was there.
See, I didn't see Spike.
Spike was sitting right next to Bubba and Devon.
That's why I didn't see him.
Yeah. Al Snow was there, like he had his guys there, and it was a great fucking speech, and he did a great job. I just thought it was great. I thought it was really fucking good, and yeah. It's well deserved.
Well, if anybody was going to give a speech like that in Philadelphia on WrestleMania weekend, it was Paul.
Yeah.
You know,
I actually enjoyed the whole ceremony itself. I told Aaron when we talked about it while we were watching WrestleMania, the only thing that really annoyed me is I wish they would not do that ceremony especially in an arena where they just did a TV show, because I thought it was disrespectful. Like, you know, Bull Nakano comes out to, you know, get her flowers or whatever. And there's all these fucking neckbeards out in the crowd just chit-chatting and shit, like, you know, like they're at the bar or whatever. It's like, shut up. This woman's accepting her Hall of Fame induction. Shut the fuck up. And I don't know. I think I wish they'd go back to doing it in like a banquet hall or or something like that, you know, instead of a big, or like they used to, where you actually buy tickets to the Hall of Fame, because somebody who buys tickets to the Hall of Fame is going to be much more attentive and not disrespectful, like I think those people were. That was the only thing that bugged me about it, was just that that wasn't a good atmosphere, especially for like Bull Nakano or Mike Rotunda. Mike Rotunda, God bless him, great wrestler, but as far as a speaker goes, he's low key, he's kind of boring, he's quiet, you know, and it's just, I don't know, it was just disrespectful to me that people were.
Yeah, maybe they should have it at a smaller place and only do like basically invites.
Right.
Of some sort. That's don't invite the regular marks.
That's like I told Nate. I think they should do it like the banquet thing, because I know a lot of times like the Hall of Fame is included in like the tickets of the WrestleMania thing or whatever. But I think do it in a banquet and then let the fans watch it in a separate area where they're watching on a screen.
Like closed circuit?
Yeah.
Yeah, just not have the fans there.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
let them still watch it live, but let them watch it on the screen. If they want to fucking talk and eat popcorn or whatever.
They want to heckle.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bull Nakano was actually one of the ones that I even popped for. Because
mm-hmm.
me and my buddy are big fans of hers, and he didn't even know she was even going in. I had to tell him like that day. He asked me who was going on now, and I said Bull Nakano, and he gave me like a bunch of question marks as a response. I was like, yeah, he thought she died because nope,
She looks better than she did 30 years ago.
Yeah, well, it's her second or third chance. I mean, you know, she was a big alcoholic, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why my buddy didn't believe that she was still alive, because he thought that like she was so bad, you know, that you know she was gone. And I was like, no, she actually looks pretty good. She could probably still work.
I told Aaron I thought it was fun too that instead of like just giving her like one of their generic Hall of Fame musics when she came out, they gave her the old WWF music that they gave to every Japanese person, Orient Express, yep. Bull Nakano. It was fun. I don't know. I was like, that's cool as shit to give her, you know, give her the old school fucking racist Japanese music from the WWF.
Even Paul Diamond and Pat Tanaka.
The only thing, and I looked past the chitter chatter or whatever, the crowd. The only thing I didn't like, I hated the fact that they used Muhammad Ali's induction to do that people's champion thing. Like, why didn't you just let it be Muhammad Ali's fucking induction? I didn't like that.
No, I didn't even look too much into that. I mean, I guess it just went over my head. Like, what do you mean? What's I don't understand. What am I missing?
Like, they had Undertaker come out and put him in, which is fine. But it was just like, they took Muhammad Ali going into the Hall of Fame and worked it into her or his wife being like, oh, The Rock's the people's champion, and giving him the people's championship belt.
Oh, okay. Like, I got you.
They used his induction to like further a storyline. And it's like,
yeah,
Muhammad
you.
Ali. It's like, yeah, I didn't like that.
But yeah, I guess so. I guess I didn't look too much into it.
But yeah, overall, I thought it was a good ceremony, and I think I like the picks this year. And I also told Aaron, as soon as I saw Thunderbolt Patterson coming out for his thing, I was like, this guy is going to pray during his. There's no way this man, an older African American gentleman, he's definitely going to pray during his speech. And the first thing he did was said, "I want to pray, I want to pray." And I was like, "Yep, called it." And I just, you know.
Oh, Thunderbolt Patterson. They should have had Ole induct him.
Who was that? Who was that guy that was with him? Did they ever say who that dude was that spoke before he did? Was it like his, I don't know, his biographer or something? I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway. I don't know. He fucked up Thunderbolt's whole story about the sheriff and the whatever. Yeah, that guy sucked.
You think?
Boo!
Yeah, they should have had. Oh, I think Ole should have did it.
Where the fuck is Vince?
That would have been
even perfect. Hunter. Even Hunter can't book that.
Dude, but it did take me a while to watch WrestleMania. And I'm not even sure I even saw it all. I put it on from where it was on the network, and then when any chance that I got an hour or something to spare, I'd go back and start it and see what I missed. But I bet you I can put it on again right now, and I didn't see something that I was like, I don't see this.
Man, both nights were fantastic. Night two was one of the best wrestling shows I've watched in the last 20 fucking years. It was fucking great. From the action to the commentary, just to the everything about it, it was fucking great.
I made a comment when I was watching it that Bubba actually kind of like alluded to today, that I said they were out there for 20, like over 20 minutes, like in the ring, and over, and like I'm just not even taking away introductions. So they probably had 35 minutes, like from intros to match. And they literally didn't do anything, like for the first like 20 minutes. Nothing. They didn't do it. Bully. I told my mom that. I was like, Mom, they haven't done anything. Like, and we're like 20, 22 minutes into the match, and they may have touched. You know, I mean, it was just like let the people just do their thing, and you just stand there, and then he just stands there, and you know, let them just go. Because they gave him well over an hour.
Yeah.
The match didn't even go on. The match wasn't even presented until like an hour and I think it was like over an hour and 15 minutes like left in the show. So it wasn't even start, didn't even start till then. And it pretty much went that whole hour.
Yeah.
With entrances and the ballyhoo.
Yeah, if Paul Levesque keeps going this trajectory, it's a new era for the WWE.
Yeah, let's hope, man. I mean, I've genuinely heard more positive things about. I don't think I've heard anything bad about this WrestleMania. I don't think I saw anybody post anything bad about it.
It's like Nate and I said after it was over, it was like, oh, let Dave Meltzer try to fucking poke some holes in this shit. It's like he's gonna sit there like I don't.
I said this I think on a post that I put on our Facebook page. To me, this felt like the most significant WrestleMania since WrestleMania 14, the Austin Michaels WrestleMania. When Steve Austin got crowned the man, and we're rolling into the most popular time in the company's history, and WWE just feels that hot again to me right now.
Well, it's funny you said 14, because everything that I keep hearing about is 17. Everybody's comparing.
Well, see, because I look at 17 as the end of the big run. Like 17 is where that whole Attitude Era and shit peaked. You know, and after that, after WCW got bought, is when we slowly and surely over like 15 years went downhill. Not that 17 wasn't great, but I'm just saying this felt more like to me like the beginning of something like 14 did, I guess.
Well, see, you have to tell me who was even on 17 or whatever. That's just the WrestleMania people have been just mentioning. Mm-hmm. So I just assumed that it had to have been good.
Yeah, it was good. So going from WrestleMania to ECW,
Fonzie Mania,
Fonzie Mania, baby, daddy.
I don't think I've written his name down so many times when I'm doing a recap of a show as I did tonight.
Well, we opened this show with stills from the Matter of Respect show of the match between Sabu and Rob Van Dam. And RVD goes over. He pretty much drops Sabu on his head, doesn't he? Because that's the angle here.
Yeah, they did it to the point where even Paul sold it. That's good. That's some good shit right there.
Mm-hmm. And of course, since it was a matter of respect, Sabu kind of. So in ECW, there aren't really baby faces or heels. per se, except for like Shane Douglas or whatever and Mikey Whipwreck. There's lots of shades of gray in ECW. But this is kind of, even though the crowd always cheers him, this is kind of Sabu beginning to play, I guess you'd say, the babyface role. Because he goes to shake RVD's hand out of respect. RVD pretty much calls him a piece of shit. And says he doesn't
respect pretty him. Much call him a piece of shit. He does call him a piece of shit.
Yeah, he does. He
and the cool thing with the handshake, and I don't mean to step over you, Nate. But if you notice, when Sabu went to shake his hand, Sabu had a mic in his hand and actually said, you know, he put his hand out and said, respect. And I thought that was kind of cool because Sabu, as far as I can remember, hasn't even spoke on TV.
No, other than screaming. So, you know, like screaming when he was
I'm saying words. Like he hasn't used his voice. But in this thing, Van Damme beat him and this is him sticking his hand out and he's actually using words and saying, respect, and RVD smacking it away and saying, you're just a piece of shit. No, like, hey, I thought it was fucking great.
Oh yeah, it was definitely good.
And then we get the reveal of Fonzie coming out to join RVD as well. Like Chad said, Fonzie, this is a very Fonzie heavy episode.
Dude, if you want to get if you want to get heat in ECW, man, just join up with Fonzie at this time period. If you bring somebody in, you know, it could be not even so much of a big internet darling guy. But if you bring him in and the crowd in Philly thinks that he's on the fence about whether they like him or not, just put him with Fonzie.
It's like putting him with Blassie in Madison Square Garden. Yeah.
He's gonna get heat.
And this with Rob was even better because he was like, oh, Sabu, fuck you. You're a piece of shit. But then he gets out of the ring and goes, but you know who I really respect?
Yeah.
Phil Alfonso. This guy's great.
Well, it says a whole lot about how Rob Van Dam picks his friends, I guess. He picks Sabu over Fonzie.
Well, after that, the neck angle continues as Joey Styles tells us that Sabu collapsed in the middle of the ring and had to be stretchered to the locker room. And then Paul Heyman cuts an awesome promo. Essentially, we're doing a math equation here to get to Taz, because he says that there were only three people that knew about Taz's injuries from when he broke his neck. And those people were Paul, Sabu, and a third person who Paul had asked to team with Sabu as a favor. So he says somebody has told Rob Van Dam about Sabu's injury. And of course, we're going to get to the fact that's Taz.
Well, who else would it have been? I mean, I don't even think they
were even trying. It's 911.
Yeah. I don't think they were even trying to swerve you. I think the way Paul saw it was it would be better left if he didn't say his name to the people that really didn't know might speculate.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anybody who watches it on regular basis knew who it was, which was still great. Just the way he laid it out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Aaron, any comments on that?
Well, yeah, I just like the fact that like Paul's character was not going to be a stooge. You know, he'll let you figure it out himself, but I'm not going to stooge either one of these guys out. You know, I thought it was a good promo and let the people figure it out. And then the people that don't know, they'll figure out that Taz told Bill and Bill told Rob. It was good.
And I like that because we're going to go into another thing here in a second. I like the fact that ECW is super consistent with their storytelling too, because in this whole thing, you throw back to what it was over a year ago when Taz got his almost a year ago when he Taz got his neck broken by Benoit. So we're throwing back to that. And then we come into this match between Taz and Scorpio, and they throw back to the fact that Taz has wanted this match with Scorpio ever since
the broken neck
from Scorpio. So, you know, I love the long term. We're not going to just ignore things. We're going to bring it up And, you know, I enjoy that too. The attention to detail.
Well, that's what they call like dotting the I's and crossing the T's. And that's what, like, you take that little tiny bit of stuff right there that I said was that. And now if you are equated to what's going on now, you're starting to see a lot more of that now.
Mm-hmm.
Where they are dotting their I's and crossing their T's now. And they're mentioning older shit and bringing up stories.
Well, and that goes back. I hate to go back to this past weekend, but at WrestleMania, it was a cool ass element of long-term storytelling for Seth Rollins to come out during that match, you know, and it was a good distraction for Roman Reigns to be like, oh man, like almost 10 years ago, this motherfucker cracked me with a chair. Now it's my turn to finally crack him with the chair, you know? So something from like 8-9 years ago comes back to fucking cost Roman his title at WrestleMania. So yeah, long-term storytelling is where it's at. And ECW at this point is doing a great job of that.
Yep. I totally agree, man. Aaron.
I agree with you guys. And have we moved into the post-match of where Sabu passes out? Have we gotten there yet? We're getting there right now, right? I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because there's that, and there's that segment, and then there's the promo with Taz. And
yeah, we did the. Sorry, I got mixed up here. Yeah, Paulie did that promo where he talked about, you know. Do we skip over that?
No, we did about the people that know about his neck.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. That's all right.
We're in the middle of Scorpio versus Taz.
Scorpio versus Taz, and it's not at the, I don't know what this arena was, but it's not the ECW arena.
No, it's a stupid. Oh my God, I'm glad you even mentioned that, man, because I forgot to make a note for it. But when he mentioned where it was at, something popped in my head. Well, first off, it's the Ag Center in Pennsylvania, like Allentown, where they used to shoot the old WWF TV back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Joey even mentions that.
Yeah.
No, I guess I wasn't listening. Okay.
But that's the place where they did that, and it's kind of like it has walls, but they're like at any moment it could be an open air market. The walls aren't all come up. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I thought you meant the place was rickety and it was gonna fall.
Oh no, don't get me wrong. Yeah. The most durable thing about that place was the doors that came down. Everything else was suspect. But that was the place where Jason and Paul got into the big fight in the locker room. That was the place where the
Grand Wizard.
Yeah. When Jason said he was going to tell everybody about Paul and the Grand Wizard in the woods. Oh, yeah. That's what popped me about that place. I was like, oh shit, that's the Grand Wizard place.
Yeah, Joey, like, yeah, usually like knock like WWE at the time, WWF or WCW. Joey actually puts it over because he talks about
Smoke and Piper.
This, yeah, he's like, this place is extreme. This is the place where Piper, like, he puts over, like, this is where Roddy hit Jimmy with the coconut.
And I must have just not been. I must have just not been paying attention to commentary.
And basically says this is the birthplace of Extreme. Like, he puts it over as like that's the first Extreme moment.
No, I still think it is the birthplace of Extreme when the Grand Wizard touched Paul. They should have brought that up. That's why this place is extreme. But it's a pretty cool building, man. Like, it really is. It's just like I said, at any given time, if they were to like to roll up the doors out there, it could be just an open. It's huge too. It could be an open air market, mm-hmm. like a, you know, place. It's really, really big. I never minded it because like when we first started running there, we ran another place too. That's Summer Somville or whatever. But I remember that me and Francine walked around that building, the first building we went to, but me and her walked around this building too. Like when we got there, we just walk around and see what's going on before the show starts.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran into her and we just kind of walked around and I just looked at the building and we started kind of talking about how, you know, how we're doing about it. WWE used to run here, like right over here is where Snooker with the coconut. You know what I mean? Like it has to be somewhere around here. But I know it as the Grand Wizard place.
Not to keep harping on that, but like he said, Chad, you could see how big it was. Like that was the first real thing. Like I obviously was saying, like looking back, but that was like the first time that I remember where like the curtain was taken back. You know what I mean? Like Piper hits him, and you get the look inside the back and the set and all that shit, and you see how big that fucking building was or whatever. When Snuka's chasing him and all that, that was good shit.
Yeah. It's a cool building, man. I mean, it really is. I just wish there was more like it had like more of a definition. You know what I mean? Because, you know, it is so just, it's just a place. You know what I'm saying? It's just a building. But yeah, it's a cool place.
I'm sorry, not Sabu. Taz and Scorpio never really even gets out of the gate because of Shane Douglas, who comes out after Scorpio and Taz are kind of talking shit to each other. Shane Douglas cracks Scorpio. I think he cracked him with the belt. And then Taz pretty much beats Scorpio in like 14 seconds.
It wasn't a match. No, I mean.
No, this is all an angle. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that belt's heavier than 20 pounds, by the way, too.
Yeah, I know you mentioned that before, because I always bitch about how I hate that belt because it doesn't have any side plates. And you said still it's heavy, like one of the heaviest belts.
When he said that belt had to have been at least 20 pounds, or it was he got hit with a 20-pound belt, I laughed and was like, dude, that's heavier than 20 pounds. You know, you undersold that bitch.
They got it. That's leather. That's a Honda Accord slapped a leather strap.
He got hit with an adult midget.
Easily. A fat one.
He got hit with
a big
midget. He got hit with a little Louie.
No. That was Tiger Jackson belly there. He swung that little bitch by his fucking feet. And hit him with his belly. It was like a pillowcase full of fucking soda cans. Tiger Jackson in a pillowcase.
Did you write down he swung that little bitch, Nate?
I did.
I knew you did. I saw you do it.
How Tiger Jackson made it onto this week's show is beyond me. But I'll take it.
Taz, essentially, after this, like I said, Douglas hits Scorpio from behind with the belt. Taz gives him a pretty nasty suplex, and then Taz mission for the quick win. And then Taz cuts a promo, and as he's cutting the promo, a very audible "fuck you, Taz" chant comes up in the.
I guess it wasn't as audible as it was on my TV because they kind of bleeped it out. So I knew what they were saying, but it sucks when they start doing that.
Yeah.
Cause it cuts into, like, a lot of times they do it during the promo.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the time. So, I mean, so it kind of like, if you don't know what he's saying, it's kind of hard to follow what he's saying, but you know, every time they bleep it out, you know what they're saying. Yeah.
Well, and I hate that they do that. That WWE does that with ECW footage, especially because people that are watching ECW look like us. There is not a 4.5-year-old kid like, I want to watch ECW in 2024. That's just not happening. He doesn't even know it existed. So yeah,
I mean, if it's a subscription anyway, and if you got to pay for it, they shouldn't bleep out anything.
Yeah. Aaron and I were talking about the other night. They have movies on Peacock where people say fuck shit, fuck, fuck, and show titties. Why can't you just let me hear them cuss at Taz? Yeah.
And they have the parental advisory options on there.
Mm-hmm.
So why are they fucking with us? Adults.
After this segment, we get a video just going through all the story of Scorpio and Shane Douglas. And then we get about 5 minutes of highlights of a fantastic match between Chris Jericho and Mikey Whipwreck. Fantastic match.
Can you believe Jericho's still there? Yeah, I mean, he had the longest cup of coffee in company. I mean, they must have really used, like, filmed a lot of shit with him, man.
Well, he's going to be around, look, because I think he wears the TV title for a minute, doesn't he, Aaron?
Yeah, he wins it, and then I think, I can't remember if I think two beats him for it in a triple threat, or either Shane. But it's going to move into a, like, Jericho, I think his swan song is that triple threat with Pitbull 2 and Shane. But, yeah, it's just
surprising me for somebody that, you know, literally, like, the word cup of coffee was used in ECW, how long he actually really did stay around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and everything that he did was basically impactful, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
because it basically I don't know if it necessarily elevated the TV title, but he kept it in a pretty strong position because it was a pretty sought after title and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, it might be dumb, but what Mikey came in at, what, 94?
Yeah,
right. Like, we started seeing him in 94. We're in 96 now. And it's like 2 years, and this, and it's like he got so good in a short period of fucking time, and it says a lot about him. And I know he works with great guys or whatever, but I might be overselling Mikey Whipwreck, but this guy Mikey's went toe to toe with Jericho and Sabu and just all these other fucking guys. It's crazy how good he got so quick.
Yeah, no, he's great. I just wanted to look it up for posterity. This show's May 21st, 96. Jericho debuts in WCW on August 20th of 96. So we'll probably have a couple more months of him here on ECW.
3 months, yeah.
Well, he must have just walked out and then walked in. If we're still talking, we said a few more months.
Mm-hmm.
He must have had his match in ECW and then just started that next week in WCW. Which makes total sense anyway.
Well, Jericho, Mikey, I thought what we got to see of this match, like I said, I thought it was fantastic. Jericho wins after a butterfly suplex, and they shake hands. But yeah, you guys, any comments on the match itself? I really enjoyed this. I would have rather seen more of this than some of the other stuff we saw on the show, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I even wrote down before it even started that this should be good.
They could have cut a minute and a half out of the stills of the Sabs. And I'm not saying Sabu and Rob probably wasn't great, but they could have cut a minute and a half out of the stills of that match and given a little bit more time to this.
Or not at all. I would have been perfectly happy if they just didn't even show me Tommy Dreamer and Brian Lee. That's fine. I don't need to see it anyway.
Neither do I.
Yeah, they're fight outside like an Applebee's or wherever they were at.
Dreamer's House of Ribs.
Chili's 5 for $5. Yeah. But yeah, that's the next thing we see here is fan cam footage of Brian Lee and Tommy Dreamer. Like Aaron said, it sounds like you're fighting outside the local Applebee's. I don't know. Nothing to write home about here. I literally wrote down Brian Lee, Tommy Dreamer, fan cam.
Yeah, just the brawl. Yes. That's all it is.
Tommy ate Brian Lee's happy tizers. They got in a fight.
I wanted my goddamn onion rings.
Yeah. Brian Lee's mad because Tommy ate his blooming onion.
Dude, I got pissed off when I didn't get to eat all the mozzarella sticks in the sampler the other night, so I can see when you're fighting into an Applebee's, Dreamer's, you gotta know, like, how to order.
Dreamer's like, I left you the jalapeno poppers.
Yeah, they're always left. Yeah, fighting that would have been so great, like how it would have been if with the Kurt Angle Booker T, like in the grocery store thing or whatever that,
oh, yeah,
whatever
Austin that was, or, Booker. Yeah, it was Austin. Booker, yeah.
If they would have done that in the Applebee's, And as they're brawling through the kitchen, like, you know how there's like a basket in the fryer that has like the mozzarella sticks or the wings getting ready to get put in? As they're brawling by, you just see Jimmer put his hand down on the basket and put it down for it. So they'll be ready after the match. Turn the salamander light on. Make sure the food's warm in the window. Fucking slobs.
When I get back from this fight, my riblet basket better be done. I need 4 wet naps.
He's yelling as he's punching them. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. As he's punching Brian Lee. Like the crowd was going to catch on to the next, to that being the next Shaw. Every time you punch somebody, the crowd yells, baby back.
Baby back. Baby back.
Dreamer back. Applebee's.
Super Porky shows up with the mini tacos.
Oh, you got to have Super Porky. It wouldn't make any sense if it did. If you just didn't have Super Porky. He's riding one of them 3-wheel bicycles with a basket in the front that he's just selling little tacos out of.
It's just full of mini tacos.
Super Porky. God damn, some names have been dropped. Super Porky. Actually, Birdwatcher, and when you listen to this, you're going to pop when you hear this, too, because you're a big fan of Super Porky.
The next thing that we see on the show here is Raven versus Sandman versus Pitbull 2 in a match for the ECW World Championship.
They claim that this was a match voted by the fans.
They were given ballots.
Yeah, we gave ballots out, and Sandman and Pitbull 2 tied. Like, come on now.
So you're telling me that you gave whatever it is, 500, 700 fucking drunken people in Allentown, Pennsylvania, sharpened pencils to write their votes in for whatever. Fuck that.
And it came out even.
Yeah.
Really?
Paul's checks bounced. You think he's going to buy a few hundred Ticonderogas? The hand out to the rubes. I don't think so.
Yeah, that was as legit as those 900 number polls that WWF would do back in the early days of Raw. Like, do you want to see Shawn Michaels reinstated to the World Wrestling Federation? It's 99 cents for each call.
And yeah, but the first minute is like $5.
Yeah, and it's like and then what they do is for the first minute they just talk and talk and talk and talk and don't let you get to what you want to do. But anyway,
on those WCW Saturday nights where they'd be like, oh, we're gonna let you guys vote for the match. Are you gonna see? And they'd have the heels in the locker room, and it'd be like Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Bob Cook, and
Cruel Connection 2
and Night Stalker versus Sting, Uncle Fred, and the Cold Twins. Yeah,
Baron Von Raske wasn't there.
I think he was an agent.
I don't think he was an agent.
It's all the people need to know.
It was Buddy Lee Parker and James Earl Ford Jones.
So what about this match? What do we think?
I actually liked it.
I didn't mind it either.
Hey, there was a Mr. Wrestling 2 reference.
Yeah, because everybody's like 2-2-2, and Joey mentioned it was a Mr. Wrestling 2 chant. And there was a lot of shit going on around it and everything like that. It was good ECW chaos.
Oh, it was perfect for that crowd, man.
And it's also the perfect. This is your standard. I think that somebody, I don't know who, but I think it's somebody that orchestrated some of Roman Reigns' title reign in WWE. Watched Raven's title reign in ECW, because every title match there's a whole lot of shit goes on and he still remains champion in the end.
Well, I mean, look at the common denominator.
Exactly. You might call him a wise man.
You don't think that like there's not 100%, there's no chance that after a booking meeting, if Paul didn't like a decision, that it wasn't going to get a talking about, you know, because, you know, they know 3-4 months in advance anyway.
Right.
So Paul would have already known about this direction. So, yeah. But if there was any way they switched it all up, or yeah, somebody would have heard about that.
It's like I told Nate when we watched that WrestleMania main event with Cody and Roman. I was like, Paul fucking Heyman booked that fucking match.
Yeah, he did.
That was his fucking match. Hunter probably just said, this is the outcome that I need. Get me there.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't hit my music. Match.
Like, this is the outcome that I need. As you can see, the biggest stars in the history of the business are here. They're at your disposal.
And you have an hour to do it.
And you have an hour to do it. Go do your thing, Paul.
Jesus. That's and for somebody with the genius level of Paul Heyman, that didn't even like mean anything. He's like, okay, I got this.
What do you think the odds are? I know I keep getting off the fucking, but WWE's kind of, I'm kind of excited about what's going to happen in the future of that company now. And I know we will get back into this match, but what do you think the odds are that they do something again with the ECW brand now?
I don't think so.
Because no, you don't think so? There's a different mindset there now. So I don't know.
I think it's been dead and buried, like in the company's eyes, to the point where I'm sure it gets brought up every once in a while, and I'm sure the further down the road we go, like, it's not going to get brought up as much.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be just part of forgotten, just history. That's all it's going to be. That's what I'd like it to be anyway. I don't want them. You're not going to recreate that. Where are you going to go find all these drug addicts at now? I mean, is Ian Rotten going to be your booker?
It's like I said, ECW, not GCW.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think Hunter's smart enough to know that, like, he might be able to do some, like, nostalgia documentaries or whatever about it, but I don't see him doing a brand or anything.
Yeah,
like a
full time project.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't see that happening either. No, there's too many. There's too many hands involved anyway. It's just too much involved.
So this match with Pitbull 2, Sandman, and Raven.
Sandman's awful, by the way.
Pitbull gets eliminated. Because of the loaded boot spot from Raven. There's a whole bunch of gout.
The loaded gout boot.
A whole bunch of distraction with Francine and Missy Hyatt. Stevie Richards comes in to interfere, accidentally kicks Raven. Sandman goes for the pin, but Raven kicks out. They bring a guardrail into the ring and do some spots with that. Eventually,
and that's what I was going to ask, is that Sandman's thing? I don't remember anybody else doing that before him.
No, probably
like bringing the actual like guardrail into the ring.
I don't think so either. I think he was inspired by his gigantic surfboard.
I think he was inspired by getting thrown over the top rope, and he does, and you kind of hit the guardrail, and it actually does hurt, and it pissed him off.
He said, fuck it, I'll just bring it in the ring.
Yeah. It's always dented.
If you can't beat him, join him. Yeah.
Who was the meanie babe? Like, dude, I was watching that and I'm like, who's this like tramp outside the ring with fucking.
I mentioned her like last week or the week before. I was like, who is this broad? Patricia is her name.
I just assumed when we saw her on the last episode when he was doing the promo with her there or whatever that it was just a stripper or a hooker or something, but I don't know.
Well, I think we both kind of came to that, or all three of us came to that answer, but I did remember seeing her again, but I didn't know who she was, and I still don't really know who she is. All I know is tonight I heard they call her Patricia. And she's the meanie girl. So, but there's probably a great chance that she just is a stripper or some sort. You know,
But yeah, Raven actually winds up winning because of the guardrail. He gets a DDT on Sandman, excuse me, on the guardrail. Then we have some crazy shit where the Pitbulls bring Meanie into the ring. He gets a cane shot and a super bomb. There's a celebration afterwards. And Sandman essentially, I don't know, sits down in the cuck chair and says that Missy Hyatt can kiss the Pitbulls. Francine gets pissed about that. Then they have a cat fight. I lose my breath sometimes describing the action in ECW, but it's wild and it's cool. And that was the end of this whole segment here.
Well, Sandman, the Sandman gave Missy the Pitbull. He actually said that I'm going to give you, you know, Missy, my girl, like whatever. Yeah. And then he just ordered her to kiss him. But I mean, you're like, dude, how? I know Missy was pretty fucking easy and shit, but goddamn, Sandman's just handing her out like party favors.
And then they did the deal where Francine got mad and attacked Missy, and Sandman was like, you know, I gave you her, now this is how you treat me. So they're teasing like Sandman Pitbull. Like faction, but there's some tension with it or whatever. Yeah, it was just the end was kind of convoluted, but the get there was really good.
I wonder if Paul does a fucking like a thong check before he sets all these fucking broads up to run out there because they all got thongs on.
I just looked at my next note and just started laughing. Because the next thing we see on this show is one of the funniest, most fucking wild things I've ever seen on a wrestling television show. And it's the Dudleys in their car. Fucking lost it. I fucking sat here and cried laughing. That shit was so fucking funny.
I'm actually glad you said that because I didn't write down a note for we're getting to the Pulp Fiction montage. Yes. And I didn't write down a note because I had it in my mental that if you didn't bring it up, I was going to bring up like, it's just how great was that.
That was fucking amazing. That was some of the best wrestling comedy. And like there, it's just insanity and Bubba's driving and Devon's just like Devon's sitting there trying to be like the serious, like, I have to control this situation, but I can't. And it was just so fucking funny, man.
And then you see him chasing him through the parking lot.
Yes.
Yeah. But did you notice? When Devon is chasing whoever through the parking lot, did you notice that innocent family in the background?
Yes.
It's the guy pushing his child in a cart, like in a baby cart or whatever. And he's just like, I don't really know what's going on.
Dude, I was trying to figure out where this was because I saw that too. I was just like, are they just in a random parking lot? Like, you know, a Save-A-Lot or some shit? And they just decided to try this shit. Because watching Bully run is so funny when he's doing the Bubba Ray gimmick. He brings his knees up real high. It's like he should have put the Benny Hill music behind it.
It was literally, seriously, that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen on a wrestling show ever. It was so fucking funny. I loved it. I watched it like three times.
If they would have had more time.
I was like, this is like fucking Looney Tunes, man. This is amazing.
Like literally, if they would have had more time to do more, they could have had him run back into the shot again. You know what I mean? And then as there's the filming, they run back through again. And Devon's just still chasing him.
God, that was funny.
Yeah. I gotta call Busted Open tomorrow now.
Hey Bubba, guess what we just watched?
Yeah. Taking them big high steps. That's what killed me, man. he raised his knees up when he was running.
Ooh, shit.
And I wonder where that car came from because you know Bully's parents own like a car dealership.
And the best thing about it was no build. Like, we just come into this insane scene of that car fucking flying around. And, oh, man, that was so fucking funny. I know I keep saying it, but it just was.
They just kept going in reverse and then going in forward.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Like, it wasn't like he was driving in circles or really doing anything. He would just go forward and go backwards.
And then you see him running. Like I said, I just kept noticing that family, that guy trying to, like, walk his kids home from school.
You had no idea wrestling ankle broke out. you were more concerned about that child's education.
Hey, Dad, what's that? He's like, I have no fucking idea. Just keep walking. Just, don't look.
Just get don't your walk. Hands in the basket. Put your fucking little legs through them little fucking holes. Oh my god, that was, now that you mention it and like it's over and I'm not actually physically watching it, I'm kind of like rewatching it in my head, and just the way that I'm seeing it, I'm just seeing them running back and forth into the shot. Just, and they get closer and closer to the camera. I bet you if Paul were to rebook that again, he would do something very, very similar to that. Because it was striking, just watching him chasing in that parking lot.
I'm just thinking about it again. Oh god, I laughed till my fucking stomach hurt. That was like, I think I watched it like 5 times. Like, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I got, after this show is over, I know exactly what I'm looking for on YouTube. Because you know,
what was it like a? Was that like a LeBaron? Is that what they were driving? But,
what was that, Aaron? I'm sorry. Chad froze up. Sounds like a string instrument of some kind. But anyway.
Boom, 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 ba-doom, ba-doom, boom.
But yeah, I think you're right. I think it was a LeBaron.
That's great. That's what I said. Bubba's.
Chad, if you can hear me, if your internet froze up, buddy. Oh, okay. So Chad completely froze on us. Sorry, everybody. It must be an internet connection thing. We're almost done here, though. We end the show with Pulp Fiction, Pitbull's promo, Bruise Brothers promo. As I go through the stuff.
Come on in, Beulah.
Yes. Fonzie and Taz, and Fonzie gets a phone call from his mother, which I thought was funny.
That was good improvising, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't like, oh, the phone's going to ring, because that was a fucking payphone. That was like, Fonzie and Taz were cutting that promo, and the fucking random payphone rang. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah, and Fonzie picking up that phone, that was good shit. Like, I might be wrong, but I think that was total improv.
All right. So, let's see. And then we get a Scorpio promo.
Let's ask Chad if he agrees.
Who has a payphone number?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that was Bill just improvising.
Yeah, how do you know what number to call on a payphone?
Unless it's a drug thing and they're giving you the number ahead of time, I'll be at this specific payphone. Eh, maybe Fonzie.
Totally. That's great. I mean, Fonzie's great at that shit. And he's stupid. And that makes it even better. That he's smart enough to like do.
All right. Chad's internet connection is still fucking with us here. So let's wrap this up real quick.
I thought he moved to Tennessee, not Baghdad.
Then we get Scorpio promo on Shane Douglas, and Shane Douglas promo on Scorpio, and then the Gangstas and the Eliminators get to cut promos to end the show. And overall, I thought that this was a good one. I liked this show.
Yep, I'd give it a B+.
I agree with you. Actually, perfect. I wrote down B+ for this show. I really enjoyed it. It had some good action. Some good storytelling, and then that fucking Dudley shit was wild and funny, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, and the only reason I didn't give it a like an A is just, I wish they would have gave us more of Mikey and Jericho. That's the only drawback I gave.
I agree. Yeah, I totally agree. Like I said earlier, I would have rather seen more of that match, and maybe, and not that the world title match was bad, but maybe less of the meat of the world title match and see more of Jericho and Mikey.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I apologize for the technical difficulties with Chad here at the end of the show and his internet connection, but we almost made it through the whole show without any fuck ups. And that's a blessing. For those of you that don't know, before I edit the show and stuff, sometimes it can be a nightmare with one of us having an internet connection or something, but today was pretty flawless. And Aaron, thank you for joining me. Good show.
Thank you.
And thank all of you for joining us here on Reliving the Extreme. Tell your friends about the show. Like Aaron always says, if there's a place like Apple where you can give us a rating, like a 5-star, give us a rating, give us a review, that helps us in the algorithms. So when people are looking for pro wrestling podcasts, we're higher on that list. As always, I want to thank our listeners in Germany and the Netherlands, where we are always like in the top 100. That's cool. Apparently, you know, they like us over there. So that's cool too. And for all of you that listen, thank you very much. We appreciate it. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend.